Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Lewis. Welcome to another edition of Rural Route, to the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between food production and food consumption. It's Wednesday. We check in on J.C. Cole, who spent 18 years in Lafayette at the end of the Soviet Union. J.C., how you doing?
Well, JC's grumpy. He had some oral surgery, and which I recommend. Hey, listen, people, you don't want to go into the apocalypse without a dentist. So get your dental work done. You know, you think about it, Trent. If everything breaks down and you don't have a doctor, okay, you pass away. All right, it's over. But if you don't have a dentist, you just sit there in misery.
What are the odds you have a chip in your brain?
A chip on my shoulder or a chip in my brain?
I was just talking with Teresa on across the pond with about Charles Lieber, who was that Harvard professor who was working on putting chips in brains, and then he got arrested and convicted of not reporting $80,000 a month that he was getting in a brown paper bag from China. He's now opened his brain chip lab in China. It's called iBrain. And he's working for the Chinese government, putting chips. He's got, I think it's 20 primates, and he thinks he's really stepped up in the world because he never had primates to do research on. Now he's got primates to do research on in China, and soon we'll all have a chip in our brain. So I was just wondering if you had a leg up and an early start.
No. I just study a lot. It's another form of brain development. It's called education.
Yeah, and no kidding. Those petaflops. Putting those petaflops to work.
Actually, I got to say, first is, I read very slowly, even though I'm an engineer. When Sony invented the Walkman, that was a revolution for me on information, because you could carry this thing. Instead of listening to music, you could get books on tape. And so I started, back in the 80s, just listening to books, because I didn't have the time or the want to read them. So I listened to books. And now it's audible.com. You just download an MP3 and you can pick up information really quickly. And now it's got to the point where these podcasts like ours, you got to figure out who's bringing real information and who's just yapping about it. But you can pull in a lot of information while you're doing other things, multitasking. It's like working on the farm, driving the tractor, commuting. And so instead of listening to music, I'm listening to the information out there in the world, which we tried to condense into very short, 40 minutes a week for people to gain information for themselves, such as the ticks. Okay. So I had picked up a long time ago that the ticks, somebody had tried to invent during World War I, in the trench warfare, infecting ticks so that they could get rid of the enemy. The problem was you can't control the ticks, right? And as we know,
I want to interrupt you because you said World War I. We normally think of these things coming out of World War II. World War I with ticks would have been a little early.
It was trench warfare, and anybody who looks into the trench warfare was just devastating. Mustard gas and a few other things, the invention of the gas mask was at that time. And, it was brutal. And a lot of that came out into, what would it be, the Geneva Convention on what was fair in warfare. What's fair to kill your same species? It was a very strange concept.
That's the stupidest thing you could ever talk about.
Right. So the warfare in I think it was specifically Belgium, in trench warfare was just brutal. And you know, what is it about our leaders that send our people into war? And I think it was like Hermann Goering who said, you know, listen, you know, you take a farmer and you send him off to war, and the best possibility he has is he gets through it and comes back in one piece. Well, isn't that true? And isn't this what we're watching? You know, again.
Yeah, only thing I struggle with in what you just said was you used the term leaders. They're not leaders.
Well, yeah, we don't have another term for them.
I
controllers?
Know.
How about controllers? You know,
I like that.
Controllers. So, you know, I thought a lot about this week's conversation, and it comes, in some ways, it comes down to at least three sayings, which we've talked about before. Two of them are brilliant from Mark Twain. It's easier to fool somebody than to convince them.
JC, we lost you pretty bad on that. I'm just going to repeat what you said. Maybe you'll come back. It's easier to fool someone than to convince them that they have been fooled.
And then we accept it, and you try to point out, hey, listen, ticks were a biological weapon. Okay, am I dropping?
Well, I'm going to interject here because JC's having some technical. There probably is some ticks in his communication apparatus. There is no doubt in anybody's mind anymore, anybody that pays attention, anybody that is of a discerning mind, that Lyme's disease was created at Plum Island. You look at the first cases of Lyme disease in Connecticut, and you look at how that has spread. We don't know who did that, but we're very, very certain that that did occur, and it continues to occur. And in case you haven't been in tune with this, Alpha Gal is on my mind because I talked to a couple of people this week. In fact, tomorrow, I'll just give a little promo. Tomorrow, Trent on the Loose, I am going to have Sean Cross, Dr. Sean Cross from the University of Nebraska Medical Center and UNMC. He has been actually working at trying to alert farmers in particular who are in contact with ticks on a regular basis what they need to plan and prepare for. And the alpha gal syndrome, which I heard about 4 years ago and it sounded like some pie in the sky thing. Now that I've talked to two people dealing with it this week, it's something that we need to all have a very well understanding of and know how to best prepare ourselves. JC, do you have you back?
I think I am. I hear.
Yeah, you sound loud and proud now.
Okay, well, I switched to telecommunication systems. And so one of the things I'm picking up is that we may get a blackout for 2 weeks of telecommunication. But that's just be aware of it. So on the ticks, my understanding is some of the tick disease is encephalitis, which can, once it gets into the brain, basically leads to like Parkinson's disease and a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
And but also, we've been down this rabbit hole. There's something called the Rife machine, designed by Dr. Royal Rife in the 1930s, which basically handles and kills pretty much all diseases with an electronic frequency, depending on the, you know, which frequency. And that was drummed out of the United States by the Rockefellers so that they could control pharmaceuticals. Okay. So, but interestingly enough, you can find people who are skilled and can use the Rife machine. They just cannot practice medicine under the existing laws, but you can make an agreement with them under the social law of contract to contract. So what I'd recommend, if you find any natural healers who have a Rife machine, that would be a really wise idea. to have them, in your arsenal against disease, which is coming. And by the way, Rife machine has been proven to eliminate cancer.
Seeking to find the alternatives. That's what we all need to be doing. J.C. Cole bringing us the information. We're back with more Roll Route after this. Let's talk about Proud of the Farm Energy Free Livestock Watering Apparatus. This blue box is going to do a great job capturing all of the elements of heat that the earth brings to you. You know, a lot of people just waste that energy. But when you have a cylinder coming up from earth and you have all of that wonderful temperature coming up and you capture it in this well-insulated blue box, your livestock, they're in their own way saying thank you to you. Made in rural Iowa. More details on the web, prideofthefarm.com. Prideofthefarm.com. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce, J.C. Cole checking in from New Jersey, where Luke researched during the break. You do have Lone Star ticks, just so you know. If you see a little spot on your white spot on your tick, tick it off.
Right, right. One of the things I wanted to cover, I started before telecommunications got in the way. It's easier, Mark Twain, it's easier to fool somebody than convince them that they've been fooled. And we have been fooled by almost everything important. We've been lied to on almost everything important. You know, the pharmaceuticals, petroleum is a fossil fuel. No, it's not. There's a limited amount of petroleum. No, it's created by the Earth's core. And the money system is safe. And we've just been lied to. So, and then the other quote by Mark Twain is, "No amount of evidence will persuade an idiot." Well, I think we've all had that going. Listen, 9/11. You cannot collapse three steel span buildings in 10 seconds with two planes. Wake up! Yeah. We were lied to about 9/11. And then, and of course, Sun Tzu's The Art of War. The supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting. Well, now let's open up a real big rabbit hole. Trump just released some U.S. UFO files, which are rumored to just be the tip of the iceberg. So if we have other intelligent species here, maybe it's safe to assume that some are malevolent and some are benevolent. And if they're malevolent, would they not subdue us without fighting? In other words, are there other species here that are controlling our belief systems?
You don't find it interesting that these files are released at the same exact time we've got 6 million files that people should be focused on?
Well, I think it's all coming at the same time.
Yeah, clearly it is. But most of it's a distraction.
Well, it could be a distraction or it could be just more information. For instance, you know, we are finding out horrific things from the Epstein files.
Yeah, those are almost 6 million files I was speaking of.
It sounds like there's another species here, but we just can't identify it. Right? Feeding on humans.
So these evil individuals, which are very clearly we can't clearly identify all of them, but we can clearly identify some of the people who have been trusted by the general public are evil. Are you suggesting that they're a different species?
They could either be a different species or controlled by a different species.
Well, they're definitely controlled by something that I'm not controlled by.
Well, yeah, but and you can find some evidence of it, like in the Bible. We know that the Bible clearly discusses demons. Mm-hmm. And I think some of the other religious books call them the jinn. Okay, well, all right, that's controlling. And at the same time, just use the Bible, there were these things called giants, and it's pretty well known from the archives that part of the giants are cannibalistic.
Yeah, and suddenly, I mean, if you have been in Bible study for any period of time, you read about the giants, right? But now you see pictorials, you see posts, so there's a lot of stuff surfacing about them with visuals. It's always including visuals.
Yes. And then anybody who digs into it and starts to research it will find out that the Smithsonian Institute has been collecting giant skeletons of giants and then hiding the data, which is kind of a little bit shocking. But so they're covering up that these things really exist.
I got a question that I probably should know the answer to. The Smithsonian, is that a 100% government funded entity?
I think it's a government entity. If I'm not mistaken, Trump has just given them an order to release documents on certain things. Right? And if you read the Book of Giants in the Bible, you'll see God sent the Israelites into the land of was it Canaan to kill everything, kill the women, the children, the animals, and the giants. So is it possible that we have another species, at least one, but I would say probably numerous. I think the answer is yes. And now it looks like that information is going to be exposed. So if we go to the 80-20 rule, maybe 80% of the people will start to wake up and 20% will not be able to really.
I think your 80-20 is inverted.
Sometimes it
20%. By the
seems
way, for the
true.
record, the Nebraska primary was yesterday. 21% of the eligible voters voted, so there's your 80-20. Before
Yeah,
we leave this,
and 80-20 seems to be a natural one.
yeah, I'd like to know why, but before we leave this, this is. The Smithsonian Institute is owned by the United States government but operates as an independent trust instrumentally rather than a traditional federal agency created by Congress. What year do you think it was created? I would have missed this one by a mile.
Well, I would guess about 1850s.
Are you kidding me? 1846. But
Damn, I should be more accurate.
following a bequest from the British scientist James Smithson, it's governed by a board of regents, funded through federal appropriations and private donation. There you go. I did not know about that, about the Smithsonian. I assumed it was a government entity.
Right. And
1846. That's pre-Civil War.
well, a lot goes back pretty far. And of course, if I am correct, where we have other intelligent species here, you would think they've been here for a while and been manipulating us. And I'm still would like any person to explain the pyramids and how they were built.
By giants.
I think
Okay.
that by technology we weren't allowed.
So
We're not allowed.
let's just take, I got a minute and a half. If we have biblical speaking of other beings and giants, and the other beings you were speaking of would be demons, then these are God created.
Well,
That's a question.
that's a big rabbit hole.
Yeah, in a
Like,
minute and a half.
well, Yeah, I don't think two farmers are going to solve this one in a minute and a half.
You think we're going to solve it in 3 years? I don't think so either.
No, but so let's just let that one be. You know, look, we have these creations. If you want to believe that God created them, then they create them. But you know, for us, we just have to identify that there are other species in our lives and keeping us dumbed down and stupid, right? And you know, you can go and I can open up the rabbit hole on the Nazis. Well, there was information that the Nazis were being influenced by another.
And I think those were reptilians. But we'll take a break. We'll be back with the second half of Roll Route. Trent Luce, J.C. Cole after this. Nitric oxide is absolutely essential for human health. Get more details. I'm talking about the cardiovascular system. In order to make the cardiovascular system better, you got to have the right level of nitrate. More information on the website, N101.com. And TL10 is the coupon code, N101.com. TL10 is the coupon code. And if that ticker isn't working perfectly, you're going to have issues. That's the moral of the story. More details on the web, N101.com. Dr. Nathan Bryan has all of the literature there that you may be interested in. And don't forget the TL10. That's just get you a 10% discount. National Western, I have no discount, but I have the ability to get you to come to the National Western 2027. We'll gather up and have the best roundtable discussion wherever we might be located about the future of the beef industry. Certainly, the demand is off the charts right now, but this week, suddenly, I've been inundated with this alpha-gal syndrome. How do we compensate for that in the beef industry? NationalWestern.com, many topics by January 2027. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce, J.C. Cole. You know that rabbits are mammals, right?
Well, I didn't really think about it.
Well, I'm thinking about it because if I'm going to plant a garden and the rabbits eat more than I eat, at some point I'm going to eat the rabbit.
Well, actually, that's a good point. The five best animals for prepping to raise, one is a chicken, a duck, rabbits, milking
And
goats, and pigs. Right. Why? They can all be foragers, and they all multiply like rabbits.
Rabbits.
So during the break, we were discussing another U.S. refinery goes up in flames, and you have 45 major refinery explosions and fires reported over the last month. I think that's
45 in 30 days.
That's what the article said, and then you tracked it down. The fire was in Louisiana,
May 8th.
Okay,
Louisiana.
So, we see that there's world, how do I say, attacks on energy. And of course, we need energy, especially the farmers. You know, that we need diesel to produce food, right? And if you just actually look at across the board, we're being boiled like a frog with our food supply, where I think we'd mentioned last week that, you know, 60% of American farmers are in a drought. But we know for sure we have the ability to manipulate weather. So why are we in a drought if we can manipulate weather? And then the other one was, what was it? I just picked it up. Are you starting to get it now? National wheat harvest will be a 55-year low in 2026. Okay, so that's wheat, and I think you know the cattle issue better than I do. We're at the lowest amount of cattle since what, 1950?
Yes. And people are selling cows in my country left and right. Not only did we have the fires in Nebraska that burned 1.3 million acres, 100% cow country. The drought has now caused others to sell cows. I mean, people are just kind of piecing them off because we're May 13th and it just doesn't look good at all for grass. And I don't know actually where the cows are going because, as you mentioned, 60% of the farmers, and you go as far west as Hank Vogler in Nevada, it's severe drought. Montana's the same way. North Dakota, the only little bright spot, a garden spot. Otherwise, you got to get east towards the Mississippi River.
Who's reporting on this? Yeah, I mean, we're getting attacked, and of course, and now people are paying attention to what's happening with pharmaceuticals, right? It looks like we're being attacked on all sides: our health, our food, our water supply, energy, and finance. Right? Speaking of finance, one of my favorite subjects, right? Gold actually dropped $10 an ounce since last week, but silver rose $10 an ounce. And so the ratio, which we have been pointing out for a very long time, went from 60 to 53. In other words, for 1 ounce of gold, you can get now 53 ounces of silver, where last week it was 60 ounces of silver. Right? So it looks like silver's on the move.
So I got to thank you because of your weekly silver and precious metals education. I did an interview this week, Trent on the Loose yesterday, with a gentleman who's in the gold and silver market, the precious metals. He sells it for a company, Noble Investments. And
Oh,
because
yeah.
of your constant information, I was able to conduct a more intelligent interview. But he said something that I've never picked up from you. Maybe I just didn't resonate on it, but obviously I knew that the ratio of gold to silver price should be 15 to 1. Have you not always told us that? Historically, it has been 15 to 1. Is that a better way of phrasing it?
Correct.
He told me, and I didn't realize this, that in Earth, the ratio of the amount of gold to silver is 15 to 1.
Yeah, we actually did. I did mention that
I'm sure you
because
did.
one of my degrees is geology, right? And so it just makes sense that the ratio is 15 to 1. If that's what you dig up, then in a normal balance, it would be 15 to 1, right? And now it's. Well, today it's what, 53 to 1. So that's saying it's way out of whack. And it actually got up over 100 to 1, I think about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, when you started talking about that, it was for sure 90 to 1.
Correct. Correct. And so some of the belief, and because we're humans and we'll react to emotion, when it starts to swing back to 15 to 1, it may actually go past that. And for instance, Bix Weir, who stays on this subject pretty much, thinks that it even could go 1 to 1.
Woofta.
Right? Just yeah. And so, listen, at that point, if it's at 5 to 1, all right, I'm going to change my silver into gold. Because the pendulum will
Oh,
always
that, that.
swing back.
Oh, yeah. Historically, that's just the way you gotta go. But I
Well, that's
know
exactly.
this is like a farmer mentality right here, JC. If corn goes to $12 a bushel, the farmer doesn't sell because if it's at 12, I know it's going to 15. And then it'll be back at 4.5 before they had the time to pull the trigger.
Yes, that's. Let's say stubborn farmer mentality to some degree. So I actually did that where I had when I started to see the fall of the financial system. This was 20 years ago in Latvia. I exited equipment and bought gold. Okay, and then when the ratio of gold to silver got so high, I just simply exchanged it to silver. Right? So, and now it's going to be, I think, swinging back, Right. And so the value of silver percentage wise, in my opinion, and the opinion of the experts, will outperform gold. Right. And so it, and,
You mentioned gold went down a bit. Is silver still around 85?
It's up to 88 this morning. Right. And so I think the biggie will be when it breaks to 100 again.
Right.
And then people start to pay attention. By the way, there's something. The last time really gold and silver took off was like what, 1980, I think 82, when silver broke $50 an ounce, the Hunt brothers. Okay, so at that particular time, and gold was just about 850, I think. So at that particular time, the only people in the market were the Americans and the Europeans. Okay, so that would only be maybe, I don't know, 400 million people. Well, now the entire world is in the market. You now have the Russians, you have the Chinese, you have the Indians, you have the Brazilians. So you've now got like 4 billion people competing for that limited resource. So what happens? Well, obviously it'll take off. And there is an old saying back from the 1970s that a Corvette Stingray was a poor man's Ferrari. All right. Well, by the way, I really like Corvettes,
Did you buy one?
my dad did.
Oh.
Yeah, my dad had a 1972 454 engine
Oof-da.
Corvette. Oh
Anybody
yeah,
raise
that was
him?
great. I was 18. What a great time. Hey dad, can I borrow the car? Oh man, what a ma but then again, gasoline was 25 cents a gallon, right? And that thing got 10 miles to the gallon, but it had like 400 pounds of torque. It was massive. Anyway, moving forward.
My second pickup, my first pickup was a little half ton GMC, I don't know, six bang or something. My second pickup was a one ton Chevy Dually with a 454. That puppy would pull anything.
That's true. That's right. Now I gotta admit, I have the and you also, we have the Ford 7.3 liter diesel. It's like, that is a beast. Right. Right. I just wanted to make sure that I supported all the petroleum companies. Right.
Yeah, I have one of those that is sitting. Some friend claims he's going to put a propane tank on it and get it running, but he never shows up.
Well, keep at it, right? Yeah, and what looks like it's happening in the gold and silver is the ETF exchange traded funds chaos is continuing, and this is the paper market that's really controlling the price. And when the paper market collapses, which I think a lot of people believe will happen, you will see the price of physical skyrocket.
I think it's
Just
foolish to own paper, gold or silver. If you don't have it in inventory, you don't have anything. That's my opinion,
correct.
but I'm not a market analyst, so use your own opinion or consult an expert. I'm Trent Lewis, JC Cole. We're back with more after this. Certified Piedmontese, creating the opportunity for you, the consumer, to have the most tender beef supply possible. How and why? Well, we'll just shorten it to say the breed. The Piedmontese breed does possess the myostatin gene, which is responsible for tenderness, so it's a genetic selection. There's no manipulation. It's all genetic selection, selecting these tender sires that sire every single calf in the system. That's how it works and how we can make the assessment that every calf is tested and we know that it was sired by the Piedmontese bulls and it's going to be tender every time. You don't need to go to the store. We deliver the tender beef to your door, and tender beef is not a fashion. It's going to be here forever. Anybody who's tried it, they're like, how do I get more? CPBeef.com. Welcome back. Trent Lewis alongside J.C. Cole. Did we finish up gold and silver?
We finished up gold and silver, but I didn't finish on the food issue. My understanding is the big company Del Monte went bankrupt, right? And that apparently the government of California is going to destroy 420,000 peach trees.
Because Del Monte went bankrupt?
Like, well, apparently so. And you go, what is the government doing destroying? I mean, we're probably the only country that destroys our own food security. And this is where we always started with. We have no food security. As soon as the supply chain drops, the majority of Americans won't have food delivered. Mm-hmm. And you know, honestly, what would you do if you could not feed your children? You would do whatever you had to do.
This plays right into the whole labor challenge. And, you know, for years, I think it's been over 10 years, every year in the fall, or not in fall in California, they harvest 365. We're here that 50% of the crop, typically vegetable crop, is left in the field because they couldn't get enough labor to go get it out of the field. That's unimaginable to me.
And so what's not being reported is that we have a constant attack on the critical issues we need for food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty much energy and farming and labor we need a distribution, a balance where our food is produced, a certain amount of food is produced near our population centers. Us on the East Coast, you know, New York, the average unit of food travels maybe 2,000 miles. Well, if we have an enemy, it's very easy for the enemy to turn off our electric grid. And actually, it's guaranteed by nature that we will. The sun is going through a phase change. Well, it's guaranteed we're going to get a Carrington event. We just don't know when, or at least most of us don't know when. The military is preparing for it with underground bases that, you know, they can get out of the way. You know, you try to explain to people, invest in local farming so that your children have a future.
This, I think, is related, although I don't know exactly how. This week, Russia confiscated one of the largest farms in Russia. Did you see that?
No, I missed that.
Owned by some billionaire, but they were coming at him for corruption, and so they just took his farm away.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what Putin does, because it was a couple of years ago, well, about 6 years ago, where Putin said they would give away like almost 10, I think it was hectares, to anybody who would come and farm it. And if I'm not mistaken, Putin put out an excellent safety net for the South African white farmers that are being attacked to come to Russia, because the South Africans farmers really know how to farm, and come to Russia and build their food security. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to that farm.
I'll get back to that, but... Yeah, May of 2026, so last week, a Russian court ordered the state seizure of a controlled stake of Russia Grow, one of the country's largest agricultural producers, belonging to billionaire founder Vadim Moshkikov. I really butchered that last name.
Yes, you did.
Nice. The valued of the value was $886 million.
The first name will be Vadim, but that's
Vadim.
Vadim.
Okay,
but Moscovich.
I would ask anyway. For a break because I didn't live in Russia for 18 years.
Yeah, I'll give you that. That's right.
But still, the point is, and I don't know how many know, but we have a tremendous number of H-2A workers, temporary agricultural workers, in the United States. I can't count on one hand the friends that I have that have agricultural workers that who you just described, white families from South Africa that have literally been chased out of their country.
Yeah, and so, you know, this is the world we're in is a giant chess game being back, going back and forth, and food is one of the chess pieces, you know, and now you watch it. Now, I do know the Russian Putin will take apart billionaires that won't support Russia. Okay, the most famous is a guy named Hornikovsky that Putin basically took apart and put him in jail. So when I hear a Russian billionaire and that the state went after him, I think that it's actually possibly something else.
Yeah, it's right? Exactly what I was assuming.
Right, and that's... I think there's enough evidence that Putin is for Russia and is trying to rebuild Russia. And so I would just watch this and see, you know, what's happening. And by the way, you know, what's a guy doing with how many billions invested in farming?
$688 million is what the America right. dollar value was.
So having experience in that part of the world, I would say this guy cheated on collecting land.
No.
No, oh, that couldn't be. No. Oh, right. By the way, I don't want the black helicopters.
I bought this place from a guy who owned a bank. And I happened to live 3 miles from where he grew up. And coincidentally, there's 6,000 contiguous acres that at one point in time he owned right here by the place he grew up. How do you think he got that? He foreclosed on the people who owned land and was close to his house.
Yes, and so you got to understand that the Soviet Union was four times the size of the United States, and everything was owned by the state. And when the Soviet Union collapsed, all assets were up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
I could have bought land in Latvia for $6 a hectare, which is 2.5 acres. So roughly $3 an acre.
But what's the stability in that you'll be able to have it if you buy it?
Well, there's some complications. My wife could have bought it. I would just be instructing her.
Right.
You know, because technically as a foreigner, and I think that was a very good law for Latvia, don't allow foreigners to come up and buy, you know, your entire land cheap. Right. And so they passed a law that foreigners weren't allowed to own basically farmland without an express permission, let's say. So anyway, This is what happens when you see an economic collapse. You know, that people in position with money, whatever the new money will be, will go and gobble up physical assets. And of course, the most important physical asset that we have is
land.
Farmland. Yeah. Right. So and this is a warning. I mean, actually, what happened this week in history is significant. May 10th, 1830. Seven, the panic of 1837, New York City banks fail and unemployment reaches record levels. Well, it's a cycle. The whole universe works on cycles, right? Are we in that cycle? Well, I think so.
2 minutes.
And I think of Yeah, nothing is more important than investing in farming. Come on, Trent. I gave up a very nice career in real estate development to go, I think I should be a farmer. Right? And of course, I focused as an engineer, I focused on the easiest and quickest and most important animal protein, the chicken egg.
I thought we were going back to rabbits.
Well, that's second. Right.
It's
They're
easier to take care of a
actually
chicken
very
than
good.
a rabbit, I just gotta say.
Well, yeah, but the rabbit's more quiet.
The
Right.
rabbit doesn't eat
And
as many
it's cute,
bugs.
and it's definitely cuter.
Yeah.
Right. But all you have to do is feed it grass. So it's like, anyway, so prepare. It's coming. I mean, we've got a sewage storm heading our way. It's already here. People just aren't realizing it. It's like and it's going to be very painful for the people who just don't have control over their own food supply.
It's going to be painful for everybody, but it may be more painful for some than others.
Right. Right. I mean, one of my greatest fears is to look at the end of the driveway and see a woman starving to death with a child. What are you going to do?
Yeah, you're going to feed them.
Yeah, but it takes 2,000 pounds per person per year. How much can you produce?
Make a bigger garden.
Right.
Get back to the
Well, that's
community
part of it.
gardens.
Nobody's investing in gardens. This is the dilemma. For goodness sake, I talk with a billionaire.
There's
I
another
talk with a
dilemma.
billionaire and
It's called a clock.
yes, we're out of time.
Yeah, we've successfully journeyed down the path connecting food producers, food consumers. For JC Cole, I'm trying to lose both of us, reminding you that all roads do lead to a roll route. Time to talk about Tracer Minerals, all things from Earth. That is where we get the best benefit. And these trace minerals that need to be available for humans, for cows, for sows, for plants. Every day I keep talking about my oats, hoping that it's going to rain and get some foliage out there to apply the Tracer Minerals to that. But right now, make sure your cows have Tracer Minerals, because you're thinking about breeding. If it's not happening yet, you're at least thinking about it. And we need these cows to be in the best immune and reproductive efficiency as possible. Chelated minerals accelerate that process. You must get a trace amount of these minerals and vitamins into the systems, because at the end of the day, conception drives profitability. We all want big calves, but we need conception. TracerMinerals.com.